worship him. Come here and be among you and I. Why would we resist this? What's going on in your life that's keeping you from receiving what God has for you tonight? Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm waiting for the day, Brother Roy, when everything that hath breath in this building forgets all about what's going on in their life and just simply begin to worship him with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, and all of your strength. Why don't we see if we can just do that just for a short period. Let's just get everybody to get involved just for a minute. If your arms are too heavy, find someone to lift them up, would you? Oh, God. I worship you. I worship you. I worship you. I worship you. Hallelujah. 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 Glory. 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 Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Remo kulakanto kurimia simku kurabakata. Remo ku shambro kurema sinti di barakasata. Remo ku shabaharia bata.
I didn't wait for you to worship me. I didn't wait for you to call upon my name. I didn't wait for you to search for me, but I sought you out. I came after you where you were in your sins and found you in your iniquities. Found you in a position and a place in your life where you could not help yourself.
Yep.
You had nowhere to go. You had no one to turn to.
Yep.
You had no advantage of your own when I found you. And here I am in your midst again this evening. Here I am again this evening in your presence. Because I love you. Because I care about you. Because I'm interested in every detail of your life. And yet you're turning the direction that is not correct. Moving away from me. Moving away from my presence. Moving away from my life. I say unto you, my child, I sought you out when you had no other alternative, nowhere else to turn. But I've made you comfortable now. I've satisfied you now. I've increased your wealth. I've increased your goods now. Will you turn away from me so quickly? Will you turn away from me so quickly? Am I not worthy of your worship and of your love and of your adoration? I say to you, my child, no, I'm not here to force myself upon you. For love does not force itself. But love seeks out that which it loves and cares about that which it cares for, regardless of the result, regardless of the circumstances. And my child, even though you turn away from me, even though you walk away from me, my love for you will not diminish. And that will be the problem that you will have to face for eternity. Because you will realize how much I loved you and how much I cared for you. And how I sought after you and how I met with you. And how I brought deliverance in your life, at least for the time you allowed me to. I say to you, my child, allow me to draw you into my arms and protect you and love you and take care of you, not only in this life, but in the life to come.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise his name, praise his name, praise his name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated. Praise God. Hallelujah. I was wondering if I had the right message tonight with all the exuberant worship. And all week long, God's been talking to me about some things, and I want to share them with you because I believe that what God gave me this week is going to help somebody. I don't know about you, but I've had times in my life when I just didn't seem to be able to get there from where I was at. There were, you know, you start progressing on a spiritual plane, and suddenly, sometimes not so suddenly, but usually, before you know it, there's something there that you can't seem to overcome, and can be very perplexing when you can worship like you're worshiping and feel the presence of God like you're feeling. But I believe this will help help some of you tonight. You know, in the book of Matthew and, of course, in the book of Luke, there is what is called the Sermon on the Mount. And this sermon, particularly in the book of Matthew, I want to give you a little background on what I'm going to be speaking about tonight. Was, of course, preached by Jesus, but he was preaching predominantly to a Jewish crowd. And he had a pretty big task in front of him, because what he had to do was change a lot of things that they were thinking. He had to go through and cut through a lot of things that they've been doing for hundreds, if not thousands of years, a lot of traditions, a lot of things they've been doing, and they approaching God in a particular way and doing and saying things that no longer applied to this new dispensation, to this new kingdom that Jesus Christ was preaching. And he preached, the Bible says, the kingdom of God. But for centuries, the Jewish people were looking for the kingdom of God. But when the kingdom of God appeared, it wasn't the kingdom of God they wanted. They were looking for a ruler, a king, a general, someone who would take the nation out of slavery, get them in a position where they would be over some of these other nations that had been their masters for so many years. They certainly wanted to get rid of the Romans. The Romans, they hated the Romans, and there was such an animosity between them. But they were looking for a king. And what they didn't see was that this king was invisible. He was right in front of them. The invisible presence of God is the kingdom of God. Luke 17 and 20. If you have your Bible, if you turn with me. By the way, Brother Ben Thompson preached this morning. We had a great move of the Holy Ghost, and we sure love Brother and Sister Thompson. He's a bachelor this weekend, and you see that big, long look on his face. His wife is out in Reno, Nevada. Praise God. Seeing the Landrys, but I think we had four people baptized. God is good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There is a misconception, I think, even in the church world today, Brother O'Neill, and it's regarding with what people consider to be the kingdom of God. And a lot of times people interact and act as if entering in the kingdom of God is like entering into heaven, but it's totally not that way. But let's look at Luke 17 and 20, and the Bible says, "And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come," they were very concerned about when the kingdom of God was coming. They wanted to know when it was coming because they felt that they were going to be in positions of high authority. He answered them and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." They didn't understand that. You know, and I think in a lot of cases today, we have people that are seeking something from the physical, when in reality, it's something in the invisible. It's the presence of the Almighty God inside of you. Praise God. It's something that will change your heart. It will something that will diametrically oppose everything that the world has and everything that the world says. In Romans, the 14th chapter and the 17th verse, the Apostle Paul writes, in explaining a little further what this kingdom of God is. "For the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost." You have to consider what was going on in the Jewish mind. He was cutting through hundreds and hundreds of years of tradition. He was going from the natural kingdom that they were looking for. He had to do a thousand paradigm shifts to get them into a supernatural mold. They weren't ready for what Jesus Christ had for them. The laws that they had been keeping meticulously over the hundreds and hundreds of years, the animal sacrifices, all the things that they were doing suddenly had none effect. There was a new kingdom coming. Praise God. Praise God. And there's a certain order that God has set forth in this kingdom. In this order, if you follow it, you will find that God will bless you in ways that you never thought possible. And as a pastor here at Calvary Gospel Church, and we get calls daily, many calls, and so many people are hurting today. They're looking for a physical fix to a spiritual problem. They're looking for crumbs when I want to give them the loaf. They're looking for things that are temporal, and we have things that are eternal. They're not seeking after the kingdom of God. They're seeking after the benefits of the kingdom. And I want you to know tonight, if you're here and you have some needs, you might pick something out of this message that will catapult you into another dimension. It will put you in a place where you can receive things that perhaps you thought you could never receive. And perhaps you've been praying for things that you never thought you could receive. And after a while, when you pray for things long enough, guess what happens? You begin thinking, God's not going to do that for me. He wouldn't do that for me. You know, how could that come to pass? You begin to think in your heart that it's not going to happen. I don't care how spiritual you are. If you don't have the things in the order that God requires them, it doesn't really make any difference. The Jews were real good at order of things. They had a system of Old Testament religion that was amazing. They had things that if they couldn't find something in the Bible, they just invented things. They had little customs and little things the Pharisees had the people doing that had no bearing or no relationship on the Bible or God, but they just they had them encumbered with all these things. You know, when Jesus came on the scene, he kind of cut right through all that. And he said, oh, by the way, fellas, he said, adultery is no longer just committing adultery. Adultery now is looking after a woman with lust in your eyes. Whoa, that put a twist on it. And oh, by the way, murder, which is punishable by death, is no longer just the physical act, because we're going supernatural. See, I'm no longer going to allow you to have your heart filled with hatred, because if your heart has hatred in it, it's as if you've already murdered them. Woo! That's pretty heavy stuff. He commanded them to go the extra mile with the people that they hated more than anything. The Roman soldiers, people that taxed them every 3 or 4 miles, there's a tax collector sitting there. They hated tax collectors. They hated the Roman soldiers, but by Roman law, if you were walking down the road and here comes a Roman soldier, he's looking for someone just like you, he says, there's my gear, pick it up, take it. You had by law to take the gear for 1 mile. Jesus said, not good enough. Go 2 miles. This didn't go over too well with the philosophy and religion of the day. So Jesus was changing things. He was telling them, there's some things that you need to do first. And if you do those certain things first, things are going to happen in your life. Matthew 7:1, talking about judgment. Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. Now that is an amazing statement, because you haven't done anything wrong. The person you're looking at and the person you're judging has committed the infraction against God. You looked at him and you said, that guy needs to be punished. You didn't seek forgiveness. You sought not mercy, but you wanted justice. You were in God's arena. So no, God's going to say to you, oh, that's how you're going to judge. Okay, when you need mercy, when you need me to forgive you, I'm not going to do it. Unless you in your heart forgive that person who's offended you. You know, over the years, I've run into so many people who've had huge problems with bitterness based on things that are real, based upon circumstances of terrible circumstances in their childhood. I remember, Sister Johnson will probably remember this lady. She came to the study that Brother Cohen had started down on Simpson Street, and at any rate, I ran into her on a project that I was doing with my construction company, and they told me about this lady. They said, listen, if this lady, if she comes out of her apartment and your men are there, she will attack them verbally. She will pick a fight with them. And whatever you do, don't respond to her nastiness. She's connected all the way to the mayor. And let me tell you something. This lady was, she had a sharp tongue. So I tell all my guys, tell construction workers. At 4 o'clock, they're going to pop 6 beers, and they're going to get drunk. I says, now listen, guys, if this lady comes out, please do not offend her in any way. If she says anything, just be nice no matter what she says. She come out looking, and she says, she made a smart statement. One of the guys says, shut up. So I got a telephone call, and here comes, and the guy said, you know, you're in real trouble. She's calling the mayor, blah, blah, blah. She's going, you better go up and talk to her, see if you can talk her out of it. So I went over. I said, oh, my God, here. I knock on the door. She said, yes. I said, hi, I'm Mr. Thomas. Get in here. And she just started chewing on me. And I could not believe this woman. She just kept on and on and on. And I kept looking. All of a sudden, God told me something about her. Just like this. I said, ma'am, the problem that you have is bitterness. And what you need is Jesus Christ. And I couldn't believe I said that. And she broke down and began to weep like a little baby. She began to weep and cry. And she said, you don't know what has happened to me. You don't know my life story. She said, when I was 12 years old, if I recall, Sister Johnson, she said, my stepfather and my mother packed my bags and put them out on the back step. When I got home that night, my mother wouldn't look at me in my eye. My stepfather said, we don't have enough resources to feed you. You're out. 12 years old. She said, I was an honor student. I didn't know what to do. But she said, you know what? She said, I decided I'm smart. Anyway, she went on and she raised four kids, and three of them went to college, and an amazing lady. But the problem with her is the root of bitterness that had welled up in her spirit. And she came to the services time and time again, but she adamantly refused to forgive her mother. She said, I will never forgive my mother. I said, if you don't forgive your mother, God will never forgive you of your sins. You have got to forgive. We began to pray, and I got a call from Sister Johnson one night. She said, Arletta has forgiven her mother. She says, come on over. She's ready to receive the Holy Ghost. And she did, in the name of Jesus Christ. So if you want your sins forgiven, you first have to forgive. And you may feel that you have all the justification in the world, because the devil is great at keeping negativity in your mind because of things that have happened to you. And if you would tell this to a jury, they'd say, crucify him. But Jesus said, forgive him, forgive them for what they've done. And listen to me, if you want to get out of bondage tonight, if you want to receive from God tonight your needs, you'll first have to forgive anybody in your life that you might have ought against. Praise God. And then, of course, in Matthew 7 and 3, this is one of my favorite scriptures. You know, it's amazing to me in Matthew 7, 3. Let me just read this. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considereth not the beam that is in thine own eye? The beam, now this is, you know, your brother's got a mote, which would be a piece of sawdust, and here I am with a 2x4, and I'm trying to get the piece of sawdust out of my brother's eye, and you know, the eye is a very delicate piece of your body, and you just don't want to just grab in there and start taking things out. You've got to be able to see with both eyes. You've got to be tender. You've got to be careful that you don't hurt. He says, so get that beam out of your own eye. Then you can see clearly to cast out the mote that is in your brother's eye. So first, we're going back to the first things first. That's the name of this message. First, take the beam out of your own eye. And I've never seen it fail when I... Over the years, we've seen some people that were constantly had negative information, and they wouldn't forgive people. And I remember sitting in a restaurant in Stoughton with a couple, and they said, we have an ought against so-and-so. I said, well, you got to get over it. We will never forgive him. Ever, I said, you don't, I almost started crying because it's something like God just suddenly got on me. And I said, please, think about what you're saying. Don't say never. Why don't you say, by the grace of God, I will forgive him. Why don't you ask God's forgiveness? No way. The rest of the story is pretty ugly because both of them fell into the same sin that the person that they were accusing and would not forgive. So this thing comes back onto you. I said all that to get into the sixth chapter of the book of Matthew. And Jesus brings forth a point here that I wanted to make tonight. And it's another first. It's something that you need to do first. And let's just get into it. But I believe if you understand this and if you begin to work on it, it's going to change your life and it could open up some of the promises that you have not been able to apprehend. Matthew 6:25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life that what you shall eat and what you shall drink, nor yet for the body what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat and the body more than raiment? And behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they toil, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Therefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall not he much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, and wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Tonight, as you sit here, your heavenly Father, the God who created all things, knows every single need that you have. He has already prepared a table. He already has gathered everything you need. It's in a warehouse in heaven. If you will be so kind as to follow what he has laid out in the word, you can have it. Amen. He knows your needs before you pray. In another scripture, he said, don't use vain repetitions. He said, I know what you need before you pray. Come on. Then he goes on, and this is the key. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. And you know, for years, Brother O'Neill, I thought the kingdom of God was heaven. It's not heaven. Anybody with me? The kingdom of God is within you. There's another part of this. The kingdom of God and his righteousness. Not our righteousness. This is where it becomes a little tough, because if you have any skill or ability, you're going to be functioning at a high level, and people are going to come to you, and you're going to feel righteous, as if somehow what you're saying was so cool and so great. Can we really, if we have anything good, it came from above. It came from the Father who brings all good things. Hallelujah. First things first, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. This has nothing to do with how many songs you sing behind this pulpit. It doesn't have any bearing on how many messages you preach. It doesn't have any bearing upon how many times you lift your hands and worship the Lord. The kingdom of God is within you. And the only way that you can receive things from the Heavenly Father is to pray, fast. The word. This is how God's kingdom grows. This is how the kingdom that's within you grows. And when you begin to do that consistently, something happens. Jesus Christ begins to be formed inside of you in a dimension that never was there before. And if you consistently do this, this is how we seek first the kingdom of God. It's not all the fluff that we have here. And I love worship and I love all the things what we're doing. But listen, I'm a testimony here. Can I be real honest with you? Is it okay to let you know that the people that stand behind this pulpit are not perfect? That they can get so busy doing the things of God that they're not doing seeking first the kingdom of God? You know, we can become professional Christians. We know what to say. We know how to say it. We know how to talk to people. We know how to make things happen. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I just want to, if I could get a mic here, I just want to show you something that I think may help some of you. I need four people here real quickly that would come up here. I want to make you the devil. It just came to me. I think that was Holy Ghost. No. It just turn around to the to turn on. Okay. All right. This is the person here that's seeking after God. You get a little closer to her. All right? You come over here a little closer. All right. Now, the devil's job is to keep her from seeking the Lord. Okay, now how does he do that? Here, devil, get over here. I want you to stand in front of her because he will do his dead level best to keep her in yesterday. Raise your hand, yesterday. Why do you want to keep her in yesterday? Because she'll never have a today. She'll never be able to seek God today because she's constantly feeling the pressure of sins that are already under the blood. So yesterday is something that we need to put down. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. I don't care how many times you've failed. I don't care how many times you've come to the throne of grace and said, God, it's me again. It's me again. And the devil says, why are you even doing this? You know that you're going to fall back into that sin. Hey, listen to me, friend. That's another lie. Hallelujah. He wants to bring up your track record. That's yesterday. This is the day that the Lord hath made. And I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. But if she can't get a today out of her life, the next thing, if he can't get you in yesterday, here's tomorrow. Raise your hand tomorrow. And the devil loves tomorrow. Because tomorrow brings all the fear. How am I going to get by tomorrow? Bills are due tomorrow. Car payments are due tomorrow. Everything about tomorrow is scary. I may lose my apartment. I may lose my job. Suddenly your mind's filled with negativity. Have you ever been there? Guess what happens? Today, she loses again. Praise God. Thank you so much. See, when you understand how this works, then you need to do is, all you need to do is focus on today. Forget about yesterday. It's under the blood. Forget about tomorrow. You may not have a tomorrow. And if you want a good tomorrow, then take care of today. That's pretty deep theologically, but it works. Take no thought for tomorrow, Jesus said. There's enough evil in it today. And if you're still going into your past, you know what your past holds? Hurt, pain, mistakes, all kinds of things that it's like a little movie camera comes on and suddenly this little dialogue, the black box kicks in and goes, and there you are. You're translated into the scene. Hi, it's Rich again. Oh, messed up again, huh? Put your hands out. You're going to go to jail. And all these things, without even knowing it, you can be in yesterday. All the things that happened yesterday. But if we could focus on today, oh my, what a wonderful thing it would be to get everybody in this building just for this next week. Just Monday, just take Monday. Do the dead level best you can Monday. Don't worry about how many Mondays you've messed up. Don't worry about how many times you may have failed on Monday. Don't count on this church service keeping you saved. You need to seek the kingdom of God that's within you and his righteousness every single day of your life. If you'll do that, you will be victorious. You will apprehend the kingdom of God. It makes it so much easier. If you have to play catch-up religion, I've had to do it, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, this is terrible. And the devil beats you up because you're supposed to be a whole lot more spiritual than this. Come on, he says, you didn't pray today. What's the matter with you? Isn't it amazing how these voices come? Just, and you think it's you. He's got nothing to do but torment you. And some of you, it's not that hard. Some of it's not so hidden. That's a different story. Just for the record book here, his righteousness, this is sometimes rendered justification, just as if you'd never sin. So if you're seeking after the kingdom of God, which is the presence of the Holy Ghost inside of you, and you're seeking after the righteousness of Jesus Christ, you're seeking after a sinless life. You're seeking after a relationship with the Almighty God that's going to prepare you not just for this world, but for the world to come. Remember, the kingdom of God is within you. You must actively seek for ways to increase the kingdom of God every single day. Every single day you get into the Word. If you have a vehicle and you drive to church, get yourself some Bible tapes and begin to listen to the Word of God on the way to work and the way back from work. Get 3x5 cards, put them in your pocket. If you're struggling with things, get these cards out and begin to quote the answer to your problem. And when the devil comes around, you don't talk to him and you don't agree with your adversary. You can agree with him quickly just by saying, you're absolutely right, but I've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ and I am moving forward, not backwards. This does not work anymore with me. Remember, if you resist the devil, he will flee from you. If you do not resist the devil, he will stick right with you. He'll be your best buddy. He'll talk to you 24/7. He loves it when people consider that the thoughts that come into their mind are all theirs. The Bible says, put every thought into subjection. Subjection to what? Subjection to the Word of God. Does the thought agree with the Word of God? If it doesn't agree with the Word of God, rebuke it. Take that big shield of faith that you have and begin to whack it away. Get the sword of the Spirit out. and begin to smile and begin to carve up that toothless, never mind. Let's examine the promise that we just went over here. When he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, he's basically saying, listen, I will take care of all of your earthly needs. Everything you need, I'll take care of it. Everything. What a deal. If you'll do that, it's like the commercial we see sometimes that's got this guy for $29.99, you get one of these. Oh, but if you do it within 2 hours, we give you not only two of these, we give you six of these. And if you do it the next hour, we give you 16 of these, four of these, and one of the other ones. The deal just keeps expanding. It's like God said, if you'll seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness first, all the things, everything, I'm going to give it to you. You'll never have another worry. You'll never have another circumstance come your way. If you'll seek first the kingdom, and that kingdom, my friend, is the Holy Spirit within you, you have to maintain a vibrant, red-hot relationship with the God who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And let me just add this. If you're behind the rock in a hard place, don't blame God. What you need to do is seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Your heavenly Father knows what you have need of, but see, you don't understand what you really have need on. He's trying to get you to systematically put yourself in a position not only to be useful in his kingdom, because his harvest field is ripe and ready. He wants to prepare you for heaven. He's trying to get you to a point where if you seek him every day, guess what? There's no devil in hell that's going to be able to take you down. There's no circumstance of your life that's going to be able to get to you. It's not going to happen overnight. But you have to start someplace. Hey, if the trumpet sounds, don't start praying and fasting, because you only have a megasecond and a twinkle of an eye and it's all over. It's too late. If we really understood this, we wouldn't have a bad day. Because we understand that if we can just get a hold of God today, if we can seek him today with our whole heart, get all these nonsensical thoughts out of our heads. Stop all this chatter that you know, Radio Free Europe back in my day was the big deal. They'd send radio signals over to Russia and Russia jam them. Blah, 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 blah. So when it got over to the Russians, nobody knew what they were saying. But every now and then one would come through, and it really helped. See, the devil's trying to jam your channel. He's trying to get you confused. He's trying to make you feel that fear is the only avenue you have, that you have no hope. If you've had a condition in your life, it'll always be there. If you've known poverty, keep it up, because that's where you're going to live in poverty. If you have circumstances of physical or mental problems, listen, those are nothing for God. You don't think he has a solution for your problem? Seek ye first. First things first. Hallelujah. The Bible says that God feeds the birds. Look at the birds. Nobody tells them. They're just fed. He takes care of them. He talks about the lilies of the valley. How beautiful are lilies? He said, why are you worrying about what you're putting on? Haven't you looked at the lilies to see how beautiful they are? He said, not one. Solomon, who was the greatest of them all, he never had anything as beautiful as the lily. So why are you fretting about what you're going to wear and what you're going to live in and all these other things? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's like he's saying, first, if you'll do my business is to convince you to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then I'll do what I'm supposed to do. But what happens in so many cases. I talk to people every day. Roy talks to people every day. We can't get them to seek God first. They're seeking the things that they need, and they're bypassing the principle in the scripture. There has to be a first. And this is the first thing that God requires. Praise God. Now, let's take a look at our own lives. How much time do you spend worrying about things? Worrying about circumstances, worrying about children, worrying about business, worrying about all the things that are crammed into our life. You know, the devil is so smart. He gets so much on our plate that we can hardly stand it. It's so fast moving today. And then he comes up with this really cool idea. We'll give everybody electronic media. That'll be a big time saver. Why, you can spend all day long on your electronic, and I love this stuff, but it's a time waster unless you're seeking God. Hello, God, this is Rich. I'm in trouble again. What's up? I have not been seeking you like I need to. But iPads, P-pads, I don't know what all these things are. Cut that off the tape, please. Peapods is what I was trying. iPods, Peapods. I don't know. All right. In closing, no. We're having fun tonight. But there's something in this message for every one of us. Every time that I find myself perplexed and bound up, it doesn't take me but a minute or so to realize what's going on. I've let too many thoughts of the enemy get into my heart. Suddenly, the whole house is on fire. And we, as a body from Christ, we need to take care of the temple. This is the temple of God. And the Spirit of God dwells inside of us. Inside of that temple, the kingdom of God is every day. And if there's a day that I decide that I'm not going to be out and about, and I'm too depressed to talk to people about Jesus, and I'm certainly way too busy, I need to remember that if you don't put something in the pot every day, something goes out. You need to lay up your treasures in the kingdom of God. You need to seek after him with all of your heart. You need to seek after him as if you thought, I may not make it. If I continue in the vein that I'm going, I may be a casualty of this warfare. Does that sound like where you want to be? Not I. You know, we can go from being red hot with God, on fire for God, hot for God, lukewarm, and cold. And it all stems from that very same thing. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. It's like you put in, if you have a wood burner at your house, you've got to keep feeding that stove. Every day you've got to keep, don't take anything for granted. The blessings that God has on your life right now can become a curse. I said they can become a curse. Because if your mind is preoccupied with the things of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the cares of this life, don't tell me that you're seeking the kingdom of God with all of your heart. Don't tell me you're seeking after the righteousness of God. I know I've been in business. Roy, you've been in business. Some of you are in business now. The biggest struggle that anybody in business has is seek ye first the kingdom of God. Because you're a doer and you want to see things done, so you get a lot on your plate. But have you sought God with everything that you have today? Today may be your last opportunity to repent. Today might be the last opportunity to tell someone you love them. Tell someone about Jesus Christ. You know, it's not enough just to pay our tithes and come to this church building and shake everybody's hand and praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I've got a job here. Praise God. I really love it at Calvary Gospel Church. And inside of you, you can be dying. Nobody knows it. But the devil, God, and most of the time, you won't even know it. That's the scary thing about this kingdom that we're seeking. God's not going to knock you over the head. He's not going to wake you up necessarily. If the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches are deceiving you, you're going to be deceived unless something happens, unless you come to yourself and start getting your priorities straight. Praise God. You know, if you're in this enough and long enough, you can actually go on cruise control. You know what cruise control is? Spiritual cruise control is you know what to say, you know when to say it, you know how to say it. You can lift your hands when everybody does. You can praise the Lord. You can dance. You can do all those things. But inside of you, there is a spirit that is demanding attention. And with all my heart, I want my passion. I want my passion to be like it was when I first came in. God's been on me for about 3 months now to regain it. I'm not there yet, but I'm heading there. I'm headed into revival. And it's not because I'm trying to be Mr. Spiritual, because I got in this condition because I did not seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness like I should have, like I did in the beginning. I could not get my head out of the Bible, Brother Nelson. We couldn't talk about anything but the things of God. We were so engrossed with the kingdom and what was going on. Oh, we had so many people to talk to, so many Bible studies to teach, so many things to do for the kingdom. Praise God. I want the fire back. I want the fire back. You know, the Bible says we can look into a mirror and forget what manner of man we used to be. We can forget where God found us. We can forget that the pit that we were digged from and the hole that he found us in. We can forget about all that, and we somehow, it becomes almost like a dream. I can't hardly picture myself anymore back in the days of wine and roses. It doesn't even seem like a reality. But I was there. And like the Bible says, such were some of you, but you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified. Praise God. Oh, I'm so thankful that we have a God. I'm so thankful that we have a God. Hallelujah. Jesus placed great emphasis on the kingdom. Talking to people, and they said, Lord, let me bury my father first, and then I'll follow after you. He said, let the dead bury the dead. The kingdom of God is more important than that. He's let me go home and say goodbye to my family. He said, no. He said, anyone that puts their hand to the plow and turns away, they're not fit for the kingdom. Don't let any rich man think he can make it into the kingdom of God. It'd be easier for a camel to get in, go through the eye of a needle. And the thing that really gets me is that except you are but a little child, you have to approach the kingdom of God as a little child. Children are such great teachers for adults. Get around a 3, 4, 5 years old. You tell them that the moon is cheese and it's this or that. You tell them to jump off this pulpit into daddy's arms. They'll do it in a New York second. They won't think about anything negative. They'll just do it. And the only way we're going to enter into the kingdom is like a little child. The faith of a little child. I believe you, Daddy. I'm not going to question you, Daddy. You said you'd take care of all my need, and I believe that. I believe it with all my heart. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, the good news is that no matter where you are in this walk with God, no matter how you are in Pilgrim's Progress, no matter where your position is or what you've done or what you've said or how many things that you've done. The good news is that you can start afresh tonight and start seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It starts with a simple, I am sorry, Lord. God, forgive me for any sins that might be in my life. I have not sought you. The reason I can say this so well is because I say it. It doesn't take long to get off kilter, particularly in your prayer life. Guard your prayer life like a junkyard bulldog, because your prayer life is largely going to determine your afterlife. Think about it. If you do not have a relationship, you can hardly tell me that you're seeking the kingdom of God first and do not have a prayer life. You may have a life that's filled with spiritual activity, but you have to have a prayer life. You have to communicate with the kingdom of God that's within you. You need to fast and pray. And God's been beating me up on fasting. Good number of people are feeling the same thing. Had a group of people a couple of weeks ago that have been fasted 3 days. They just wanted to fast. They felt there needed to be a breakthrough here at Calvary Gospel Church. And Pastor Grant's feeling the same thing, and he's called a 3-day fast. If it takes a couple days from pushing the plate away, wouldn't it be worth it? Wouldn't it be worth it if suddenly that joy unspeakable and full of the glory of God came back? Wouldn't it be great if you were soul winning in a degree that you've never done before? That you were receiving from God all those things that you've asked for and never received because you did not seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, there's probably people here tonight that have never even heard, how do you get into this kingdom? Anybody thought about how you get, anybody here need to know how to get into the kingdom? If you have to seek for it, you should know how to get into it, right? It's a very simple process. It's a very simple process, and most of you understand how that process works. But for the sake of maybe one or two that do not understand what you must do, before you can begin to seek that kingdom, you have to understand a little bit about the kingdom. When God finds you, he's calling you out of darkness. You're down in this is the world here. This is the area that is controlled by satanic activity. The God of this world has dominion over this. This is his world. The Bible tells us that, the God of this world. So God begins to call you. People begin to pray for you. The very first step is that you, as an individual, have to understand that you are a sinner. It doesn't do you any good to start seeking God for what you need, because you don't know what you need. What you need is the kingdom of God inside of you to give you the power and the authority to overcome all of these demonic pressures that are out here. Think about it. So the very first step, you and I have to feel broken inside of us to the point where I need God. I've tried it myself. I need God. If I should die before I wake, if you should die before you wake, are you ready? Are you ready to meet God? Is there anything in your life that would keep you from going up in the rapture? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So the first step is repentance, whether you've been here for 50 years or 5 minutes. Repentance. This is the first step. This is where a lot of the denominational word stops. They stop right at repentance. They've accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They got a warm, fuzzy feeling. That's where it stopped. It doesn't make them bad. It makes me sad. Because unless I develop the kingdom of God within me, and you develop the kingdom of God in you, this is as far as they're going. Because the fields are still white and ready for harvest, but the laborers are still few. We sometimes get caught up in seminars and going to camp meetings and all the things that Pentecostals love to do. They love good preaching and good teaching, and they love fellowship. Oh, but that's not going to do anything for you except you're seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. So you've repented. Now what do you do? You've got to get rid of all that stuff that you took out of the world. All the sin that you've ever committed from the day that you're old enough to be accountable till the day that you're baptized in Jesus' name. Oh, lift up your hands. Oh, lift up your hands. If you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, tonight could be the first day of the rest of your life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, you've been baptized. You've repented of your sins. Now, you're ready to receive God's Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God, the one who said, let there be light, is now willing to come, not be just with you, but He's going to be in you. Ooh. There's nothing like having and the knowledge, waking up in the morning, Brother Roy, and knowing that God is in me. God is in me. God is in me. I am the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells inside of me. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Now, here's the danger. The danger is now we are in the kingdom of God. We're not in heaven. All we have, passport. This experience, this little three-step experience, gives Richard P. Thomas, look at, he had hair that, no, gives him the authority to go to the next level. But I'll never get to this level unless I have sought the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Until I grow from spiritual infancy to spiritual maturity. Until I commit myself for a period of time that I'm rock solid in the Word of God. The Word is forever settled in heaven. Where it needs to be settled is in our mind, in our heart. When we settle it up there, if we recite it and we live it and we speak it and we preach it and we teach it and we meditate on it, then the reality we came into the kingdom with, which does not just dissipate. There's a struggle. This is where the biggest struggle comes. Getting from this step here into a position to be rapture ready. This is when the devil, he doesn't really care too much about the repentance of baptism, even in filling the Holy Ghost. Because if you will not seek first the kingdom of God and you don't grow it, it's not going to make any difference. Because you're never going to make heaven your home. If you think that what he went through, and we're going into Easter, and we're going to see a picture of a man on a cross. We're going to react that somewhat. But listen to me. That was God in the flesh who suffered, who died, who was ripped, who was spit upon, who was gnashed with teeth, who had nails punched into his hands and his feet, and a spear into his side. For me and for you, casual Christianity is not going to get the job done. It will never get the job done. And this is what the devil is really wanting to do, is keep us casual. Oh, I love the fellowship here. And I do. Some people love the fellowship here more than they love the God of the fellowship. Put those tomatoes down. Praise God. Look at Luke 12:32. I want to give you some hope here. I want to give you some good news. Fear not, little flock. That's you and I. Luke 12:32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He wants to give you the kingdom. God is actively seeking to save those who are lost. He's actively pursuing you. If you'll stop long enough to let him catch you, you will find that the things that have been calling you away from him will be driven out. He paid the price. You know, now that you're into this kingdom, it only makes sense that you understand the laws of this kingdom. This is a new world here. This is a place that you've never traversed before. So you need to understand that there are some rules. You understand that just for food for thought, the Bible says that the king of this kingdom has decreed that every sin that you've ever committed from the day that you're old enough to be accountable is no longer on his record book. When he looks into his book, your name's not there. There's no sin on it. However, in the Lamb's book of life, your name is written in that. So when the day comes when the trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ shall rise first, we that are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them, and we will be with the Lord forever. And I want you to know, regardless of what the devil may tell you, that you are now completely free from your addictions, your bondages, the chains that had you. If you don't understand that, he will trick you into going to think that you are still addicted. God's in the deliverance business. He is in the business of delivering people from darkness to light. We have people in this building tonight who have been addicted to the most toxic substances on this planet, and they are now productive Christians, and I'm one of them. Hallelujah. Some of you came in here with a broken heart years ago. Guess what? God has given you a brand new heart and a brand new spirit, and has mended your broken heart. Oh, hallelujah. There's much work to be done, brothers and sisters. The harvest field is still white and ready for harvest. And the other thing you need to remember, the reason the laborers are few is because few seek the kingdom of God first. They seek the things of the kingdom. Churches are filled with prosperity gospel teaching. My friends, and you are my friends, I'm so glad that you came today. I want you to know that God will supply all of your need according to his riches and glory. Look what he's done in this $200 million cathedral. You think God's not doing a work here in your life? I just want to run over to the studio and say, could I talk to you for a minute? Do you care if I turn your other cheek? No. Praise God, praise God. If you'd stand with me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, some of you, I think, have got this. I think some of you are going to understand that no matter where you are at today, tonight, you can start anew. You can become the prodigal that came to himself. You can be the person that said, you know what, I'm done running from God. I'm done living like I'm done with this. I'm going to seek the kingdom of God in his righteousness. I'm going to repent. I'm going to pray. I'm going to fast. I'm going to study until such a time as that the kingdom inside of me is bigger than the kingdom that I've been delivered from. And I'm going to keep it that way. And one of these days, when the trumpet sounds, I'm going to be ready. Not only am I going to be ready, but some of you are going to take 30, 60, and 100 fold with you. You know why? Because you decided tonight, you know what, I can do this. If you're here tonight and perhaps you've never entered into the kingdom of God. I want you to know that we have a place right over here. We have people that we've trained to help you seek the kingdom of God. And I believe tonight that you can receive that kingdom just like it says in the Bible. John 3:5, the Bible says, except a man be born again of the water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Peter said in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Instead of having the war of the worlds that goes on in a lot of people's mind, where they're always struggling whether they're going to serve God, or they're going to serve mammon, or they're going to serve God, or they're going to serve the devil, why don't you just go all in tonight? Why don't you just say, you know what, I'm just going to do it. Do it now. Why hesitate? You may not have it tomorrow. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.